Here's Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth.
Some of us with our tongues are like rapidly moving rivers, babbling brooks. And I find that particularly when I've been in my study or alone for a while and I come out, people can tell because I come out babbling, talking a mile a minute. And sometimes, not soon enough often, I catch myself and I think, you have done nothing but talk since you came out of that room or out of your house. Invariably, I'm going to sin with my lips if I don't let the Holy Spirit restrain and control. You know, it's really true that people who are more measured in their words are thought to be wise.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth, co-author of True Woman 101, for Monday, June 26, 2017. Today, Nancy continues in the series, The Power of Words.
I read an interesting article in USA Today some time ago about a New Jersey teenager, 19 years of age. His name was Brett. This young man decided that he was spending too much time talking and he wasn't listening enough to others talk. So he took a vow of silence for a year. That's pretty astounding. I can't imagine for a teenager or a non-teenager how that would be possible, but I was intrigued by the idea and decided to take a similar exercise or challenge myself, except mine didn't last a year. I decided to try it for 40 hours. While I was working on this material, I had a time period that where I was studying, and I thought, I just want to go on a fast from words, from speaking words, for it was close to 2 days. And it actually wasn't too difficult because I was by myself that whole time and didn't have anybody else around, although I will confess that I didn't quite make it. On two occasions, I did find myself talking to myself out loud. So I didn't totally succeed, but I don't know if that qualified as, if you're just talking to yourself, is that talking? Anyway, it reminds me of a monk who went into a monastery where they had a rule that you could only say two words every 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, this monk had his opportunity to say his two words, and he said, bed hard. Well, another 10 years went by, 10 years of silence. And at the end of those 10 years, he had an opportunity to say his next two words, and he said, food bad. 10 more years of silence. And at the end of that 30-year period, he spoke his last two words. He said, I quit. And his superior said, I'm not surprised. All you've done since you got to this place is complain. So this man didn't speak many words, but the words that he did speak were complaining words. Well, I'm not suggesting that the scripture teaches we should not speak for a year or for 10 years, because there are many words that the scripture says that we ought to say, words of blessing, words of encouragement, words that build up and edify others. We've been looking over the last several sessions at the book of Proverbs and what it has to say about the tongue. And I have found myself greatly challenged and convicted as I've walked through the book of Proverbs and tried to pull out all the verses that relate to our speech and to see what God has to say to me about my speech through that book. One of the recurring themes in the book of Proverbs is the danger of talking too much and the importance of restraining our words. Let's look at some of those verses in this session. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 is one of the ones that is most familiar to us. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Two verses earlier in that chapter, verses 8 and 10, have a similar phrase. It says, a chattering fool comes to ruin. Chattering fool comes to ruin. And Proverbs reminds us that in the multitude of words, where there are too many words, sin is inevitable. Too much talking leads to all kinds of other sins. Sins of exaggeration, sins of lying, foolish jesting, meaningless chatter, criticism. You get in a group and you start talking and you say too much. Invariably, I find I'm going to say something about someone else that is critical, and I would have been so much better off had I just restrained my lips and said less. It can lead to sins of saying things that are inappropriate or that are poorly timed. Maybe something that would be all right to say in a different setting, but in that setting, it's not appropriate. It can lead us to making insensitive comments. or to comments that are self-centered. Talking too much can lead us to murmuring or to boasting. So many other sins flow out of this sin of talking too much. Proverbs 12, verse 23 tells us that a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. And over again in Proverbs, you see this theme is that a wise man doesn't have to say everything he knows. He demonstrates restraint and humility, speaks at the appropriate time, whereas a fool gushes, blurts out foolish things. He has no restraint. You see the same thought in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds it back. And ladies, I have to say that most of us as women are particularly vulnerable to this kind of foolishness. If we feel it, we have to say it. And it's not always necessary or best to say it. A foolish person gives vent to all his feelings, but a wise man or woman holds it back. Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth or gushes out or literally bubbles forth evil. You see how the mouth is connected to the heart? The evil person who has an evil heart, a foolish heart, an unwise heart, is going to gush out, to bubble forth with things that are going to be evil words. Whereas the righteous person, the person with a righteous heart, carefully weighs his words. This is one of the reasons that I don't like doing live radio interviews, especially if they're going to have call-ins. Now, I do it sometimes, and I ask the Lord for grace to do it, but I know that there's a good chance if I'm speaking on the spot without a chance to think before I speak, that I'm going to say something I wish I hadn't said. It's those off-the-cuff comments that get me in trouble. But the heart of the righteous carefully considers how to answer before he speaks, rather than just blurting out the first thing that comes to his mind. It's so dangerous when somebody says, "What do you think about?" And I'm quick to say, "Well, I think that what I think may be very wrong, or maybe inappropriate, or it may not be the wisdom of God's word." That's why I want time when a question is asked. I want time to think. I don't always take time when I do have it, but I need to take time to think. What does the word of God have to say about this specific matter? Proverbs 17, verse 27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Verse 28, Proverbs 17, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. That doesn't mean he is wise, but it means that his silence gives an impression that he's wiser than he really is. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. He who has knowledge spares his words. A wise person uses caution in his speech. He doesn't gab. He thinks before he speaks. He measures his words carefully. Some of us with our tongues are like rapidly moving rivers, babbling brooks. And I find that particularly when I've been in my study or alone for a while and I come out, people can tell because I come out babbling, talking a mile a minute, and sometimes not soon enough often I catch myself and I think, "You have done nothing but talk since you came out of that room or out of your house." Invariably, I'm going to sin with my lips if I don't let the Holy Spirit restrain and control. You know, it's really true that people who are more measured in their words are thought to be wise. I think of two different men who have served in the ministry that I serve with who are men of few words, but I think of them as men of great wisdom. And I've been in meetings with, staff meetings with those two men on many different occasions. And I've been part of a group that has been discussing an issue, and we're back and forth, and all throwing in our 2 cents worth, and I will frequently be one making a lot of the comments. And in both cases, I think of these men as having the restraint and the discipline to be able to sit back for the longest period of time, it seems to me. But you know what happens when they finally do speak? It's like E.F. Hutton. I mean, everybody listens, and they go, "Yeah. Why didn't we think of that?" They're considered wise, and they are wise. Some of you live with the frustration that you don't feel like your husband really listens to you. Could it be possible that he might listen more attentively if you said less? Now, I don't mean that sarcastically at all. I think that all of us would have people pay more heed to our words if they knew that when we speak, the words we speak are going to be careful and measured and thought through before we say them. Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him. That has to do with, I think, being quick to jump to conclusions. And can I say to those of you who are mothers that that is one thing that will really frustrate your children? Is if you're quick to jump to a conclusion about a matter before you've heard it out. He who answers a matter or returns a word before he hears it, before he gets all the facts and hears it out, will come to wrong conclusions and will end up looking foolish and frustrating others. That means that part of having a wise tongue is the ability to listen. To listen. I find one of the things that I violate most consistently in this area is this whole thing of interrupting. And I grew up in a family with a lot of kids and a big family and a lot of strong-minded, strong-thinking, interacting, debating family. And in our family, to speak, you had to interrupt. That's not a good habit. And I thank the Lord for a lot of things about my family, and we did have a lot of great discussions. But I sometimes stop and realize I haven't even paid attention to what that person's saying before I was quick to jump in with my own opinion, before hearing the matter out. Proverbs 29, verse 20 puts it this way. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And according to Proverbs, there's not much hope for a fool. So a man who's hasty to speak, who blurts out thoughtless or insensitive or foolish words that you can't take back, there's more hope for a fool than for that person. One of my very favorite authors is Fenelon, whose book, The Seeking Heart, has ministered to me greatly. And I came across some words. He was a spiritual advisor to many of the women who worked in the court of Louis XIV. And he wrote some letters to women counseling them about issues in their lives. And one of the things he talks about is this matter of words. And something I read there recently spoke to me. He said, try to practice silence as much as general courtesy permits. Silence encourages God's presence, prevents harsh words, and causes you to be less likely to say something you will regret. And then, though he wrote this hundreds of years ago, it felt very pointed to me when I read it recently. He said, you are long-winded. You want to say everything that has the slightest connection to the subject at hand. Try to be brief. Learn to get to the heart of the matter and disregard the non-essential. You could say what you mean in two words. And I thought, he wrote that with my name on it. But he concluded, what you really need to do is to sit quietly before God, and your active and argumentative mind would soon be calmed. God can teach you to look at each matter with a simple, clear view. Do you want to know if you talk too much? And by the way, I find that most of us who do don't realize that we do. We have a hard time landing our plane, and there aren't many people who will love us enough to tell us that we talk too much. So if you want to know, ask someone who knows you really well. Ask your mate. I was in a meeting recently. There were several of us involved discussing some issues. And after the meeting was over, I had kind of this intuitive sense that maybe I had said more than I needed to, more than my share of the conversation. So I asked one of the men who was in the meeting afterwards, I said, did I say too much in that meeting? And he hesitated long enough that I knew that I probably had. And then he said, in effect, you know, that long story you told, you perhaps could have condensed a bit. And I was so thankful to have friends who are real friends who will help me to know when in this area or other areas I'm not walking accordance to the Word of God. So ask someone else if you wonder if you're saying too much. And above all, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, am I saying more than is pleasing to you? Are my lips being controlled, restrained by your Holy Spirit? And ask the Lord to give you the wisdom and the grace to speak to others after God has spoken to you. So you know that the words that you're speaking are words that have come from His heart into your heart and then to the hearts of others.
Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth
just gave some practical advice you can put into practice today. Talk less. Her teaching is part of a series called The Power of Words. This week, she's covered gossip, slander, and lying. She's also inspired us to bless others with our words. Some members of our audience have been listening along, and Nancy asked them to share how words have blessed them.
Some words that have been spoken to you that have given blessing and life and encouragement. Barry?
Okay, I'm going to cry. I can already tell you right now. I had a wonderful father. And he was a minister, and that doesn't have really anything to do with the words of blessing that he gave me. But he was a wonderful example of many things. But I was fortunate to have a father like that who did love me. And the thing that he told me that blessed me, and that I've continued to remember all my life, and what I want more than anything to share with my children, and I feel convicted today that I'm not doing a good job of that. But he told me, always growing up, he said, honey, I may get mad at you. I may discipline you. I may not even like you a little bit. But there is not one thing that you can do that will keep me from loving you. And the freedom in that, and I always felt it, and I knew he meant it. Now I knew he'd get mad at me, and I knew he would make true on that promise that he would punish me when I needed to be. But he always told me, honey, there is not one thing you could do that would keep me from loving you. And I want my children to feel that, and I want them to know that. But I want my words to reflect that. But those words were very much a blessing to my life.
And when your dad spoke those words to you, what he was really doing was reflecting the heart of the Heavenly Father, who says, yes, I will discipline you, but I will never take my love from you. And can you see how our words then become a means of drawing others to God? If our words are an expression of His love in His heart, then they create a climate or a soil, an atmosphere in the heart of the hearer that makes them want to know the God that those words reflect.
I want to say something with what Barry said. I knew her father, and he was a wonderful man, and he gave some very encouraging words to me once. When I went to the hospital and found out I had my first brain tumor, he was the first person I called. And he wasn't even the minister of my church, but I knew her mom. I worked with her mom. And he came and prayed for me. And he said in that prayer, Kathy, no matter what happens, you'll be okay because you know the Lord, and the Lord will bless you either here on earth or with Him. Those words have stuck with me, and they have become a byword for me because as I faced a second brain tumor and some other things that are coming, those words just resonated with me and do every day of my life. And that's the way I pray. No matter what happens, Lord, I know you, and I will be okay.
Sometimes it's not words, it's the way people react to things. Like my father, I think my father's been in Christian ministry all his life, and there's always people out there criticizing people in Christian ministry. And I can remember someone criticizing my father, and he would just say, you know, that's all right, and it never went any further, and he was fine. But I can remember laying in bed sometimes at night composing speeches that I wanted to give to this person. How dare they say this? So I want to put it all together in that sometimes hurtful words can be said to someone we love, and God gives them the grace to handle it. And also my husband works in a church and is also a politician, so I'm going to get it but coming from two different ways. And just recently in our church, we've had some people meet with my husband and tell him how wrong he is in this and that. And some of it was not the truth. And he told me about it, and my first reaction is just, oh, well, how dare they? They are just bitter, bitter, bitter people. And he told me, he said, Susan, God really showed me that I need to respond. And these were words of blessing to me. He said, I need to respond and listen to everything they say and just be quiet and listen to them. And if there's just a morsel of truth in what they say, then I need to fix it. I need to pray about it and ask God what I can do. And if there's not, then that's okay. So my husband is a great encourager to me. And so it's not any words I can recall, but it's just the attitude of encouragement and blessing that is a blessing to me.
That's a Revive Our Hearts listener who's been learning to use her words wisely. She's been listening to the teaching series from Nancy DeMoss Wacklemuth called The Power of Words. To help women put these ideas into practice, Nancy has offered 30-day challenges over the years. Holly took one of these challenges while in the middle of a big conflict with her husband.
I just became more aware of everything that came out of my mouth and more aware of when I was about to say something negative or do something negative or roll my eyes. It just made me so aware of everything that I just quit doing it. And he, in response, became much more receptive to things and not so closed-minded when he would talk about things, and that he was completely right. He listened to me more, and I listened to him more, and we just communicate a lot better now. And he still doesn't know that I did it.
And during this current series on the way we use our words, we want to invite you to a new challenge. This isn't just about how we speak to our husbands. It's a challenge to watch our words to everyone for 30 days. Here's how it works. Sign up at reviveourhearts.com. Now, you need to sign up before June 30th to get in on this challenge. Once it starts, it's too late. Starting on July 1st, we'll send you a daily email with a devotional thought from Nancy or our friend Mary Cassian about how we use our words. It's a daily reminder to devote all our words to the Lord and His glory. You'll get a lot more out of this challenge when you sign up with a group of friends or family. Then you can hold each other accountable and share what you've been learning. Sign up for the 30-day challenge at reviveourhearts.com. The hurt caused by cruel words is real. How do you heal from those kinds of words? Nancy will address that tomorrow. I hope you'll be back for Revive Our Hearts. Now Nancy's back to pray.
Thank you, Lord, for your incredible love. You loved us so much that you gave. You gave the best that you had. You loved us knowing that there was no reason to expect we would love you in return. But your love captured our hearts. It transformed us. It saved us. It lifted us out of the pit of sin and self that we were in. And now you say that your love has been shed abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And you've put us in this world to love with your love. So we pray for grace, for love, and for your healing where it's needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wacklemuth wants to help you measure your words. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.